Hoi, 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 cheeky monkey.
Hello and welcome to a Burkamp Wonderland radio show. What a game that was between Arsenal and Watford. We got a clean sheet and an away win. So what more can we moan about? Tonight, I will be joined by, let's start with today's button monkey, John. How's it going?
Not too bad, mate. Away win, away clean sheet, first of the season. Game was interesting.
We always get picked with the good games, don't we?
Yeah,
we always do. Best pick them. Talking about picking good games as well. Carl, how's it going?
It's all good, just like my train service.
We know that's just as reliable as Arsenal away from home.
That's cold, Josh.
But let's get started. We've all forgotten we've got work tomorrow morning, so I can apologise if we rattle through some of these things. But fortunately, Arsenal were with us and didn't give us a huge amount to talk about. Other than, should we start with the lineups, Carl?
I was quite surprised that Mavropanos came straight into the squad, just because he hasn't played many games this season. He hasn't even had a run-up of games. And to throw him in against Watford, who, you know, let's face it, Deeney and Gray, they're a kind of a strong, to me, very, very strong partnership. And they're bully boys, and that's what they would do, you know. We'll get on to Deeney later, but, you know, throwing arms about, making, putting themselves about, that's what they do. So I was very surprised about Mavropanos. The rest of the squad, I was a bit apprehensive about Mustafi. I mean, I hate when Mustafi plays anyway, whether it be centre-back and or right-back. But Mustafi at right-back, I was thinking, oh, that's a bit horrible. I was happy for Xhaka to come back in alongside Torreira. I think that's a very, very strong centre-midfield partnership. I was very surprised to see Ramsey start, just because of his injury problems that he's had just recently. I thought he'd be given sort of maybe a bit of rest and maybe come on later. But for him starting, I was quite shocked, to be honest. But, you know, I know he came off sort of midway in the half. And Aubameyang, I think he was always the one to go rather than Lacazette. Because I think Lacazette needs to be saved for Napoli away. So it was a very strong starting lineup. Just surprised by some of the personnel that we chose.
Yeah, I agree with some of those changes we made. Shout out to J-Rob for the donation, $2. I would have to agree with you. It was quite hard to watch, but we will take it based on our waveform. I should also say there is a lot of dedicated people in this chat box. Throw out from there. Who have you got in there? I've seen Danny the GFP. Don't know who he is. Arpen Danuka's in there as well. Super Fragilat. Oh my god, I can't even bother. I've got Danny like Tourette's. I can't say anybody's names today. K-Man 1867 is in there as well. I saw someone also in here that's in Thailand, and it's like 4 a.m. there. Fair play to you guys for always being here after us. John, let's go to your thoughts on the lineup as well. Did you think we'd go almost like as strong as we could with Napoli away on Thursday?
I was a little surprised that he put so many, what I consider first teamers or first names on the sheet, you know, in Torreira, Xhaka and Ramsey. I wasn't surprised to see Ozil taken out. I thought he was more likely to start the Napoli game, but it was a pretty strong lineup considering, you know, obviously we played Thursday, playing tonight, Thursday again, and then I think we're playing Sunday and then Wednesday. You know, with Socrates being banned as well, you know, just needing to rotate a little bit. I thought the midfield might actually be a little bit weaker tonight, and that's why I was a bit nervous. But fair enough, he went for it. I hope it pays off and that, you know, it hasn't knackered anyone too much. I think the fact we could take off Torreira at half-time and Ramsey came off in the second half is probably a good thing. But, yeah, stronger than I thought. But I won't say he got it. I mean, we won, so I'll say he got it right, but that might be fudging it a little.
Absolutely. So let's start with the game. To be honest, the first half was a little bit quiet until the 9th minute. Carl, do you want to talk us through the goal from Aubameyang?
Yeah, so the ball came down our left, their right. Their player had a chance to clear it. And he didn't. For some unknown reason, he turned back on himself and decided to pass it to keeper Ben Foster. And it was, Ben Foster had a chance to clear it first time, but he decided to let the ball roll across his body and bring it onto his right foot. So, and Aubameyang, you see him look at the ball and he's just running for that ball because he thinks he's got a chance. And rightly so, he's literally, if you watch the replays, as I've watched quite a few times, his eyes are just on that ball and he's just literally gunning for that ball. And he's quite a fast player. And I think Ben Foster didn't know how fast Aubameyang was coming. And Ben Foster tried to clear, Aubameyang stuck out a leg and it's just ricocheted off his leg into the goal. I mean, I think it's very lucky because that ball could have gone anywhere. And the fact that it shows Aubameyang's determination to trying to get there, I think it's absolutely brilliant. For me, it was, you know what I mean? If you try that 100 times, normally the goalkeeper clears it and it just goes straight down the pitch. But for me, it was a catalogue of errors from the Watford. I don't know who it was on the Watford left's right side. Is it Jarmat? I think it was him. He should have cleared it for the first time down the pitch, but he doesn't. And Gary Neville made a good point during half time where he said that players don't tend to just knock it down the pitch anymore. They need to be seen to be playing, like playing it out from the back. And I think that was a downfall. He didn't want to just knock it down the pitch and have the ball come back to him. So when he played it to Ben Foster, I think that's what they're trying to do. And Ben Foster, again, had the chance to clear it first time, but he didn't. He wanted to be seen to be passing the ball. He's been interviewed now at the moment on TV. So I'd love to know what he's saying, but I don't know. My TV's on mute. But yeah, it was for me a very lucky goal for Aubameyang because, like I said, the ball could have gone anywhere. But for me, it's very good because it showed his determination to get there. And fair play to him. Well done. Very well done. His first away goal of 2019, and I'm happy for him.
Yeah, that was an odd stat that came up. I knew he was out of form. But I didn't realise it was that bad that, you know, he hadn't scored for that long for us, especially away from home. John, I'm going to either give you the choice of talking through the goal or going to my next note.
I will briefly touch on the goal. I'll also say a quick thank you to Unique79 as well for the donation. Thank you very much. Always appreciate it. It's more just to echo what Carl said, to be honest. It was funny because it wasn't long before that Leno had been pressed quite well by, was it Andre Gray at the other end? Although Leno was he was away from his actual goal at the time and ended up putting the ball out and conceding a throw-in high up the pitch. So it's something you've kind of got used to over the last few years of seeing keepers getting pressed. And, you know, 10 years ago, they would have just cleared the ball away. But now they keep it for a bit longer and the players always get a bit closer. I don't think Aubameyang really thought he was going to, you know, get there and score a goal. He's just doing his job, what he's been told by the manager, press high, try and force them to kick it in a way that, you know, they're not going to be able to hit Deeney or Gray, like their actual target man up front, and put it out for a throw or whatever, gain some advantage back from it. But you've got to gamble, and sometimes it pays off. It's weird because normally whenever we play against Ben Foster, he generally has a brilliant game. So to see him make a mistake for once was quite nice.
Yeah, I think it was built up across his career, right? He was due one against us.
It was due one out of 100 games or whatever, where he's peak fucking, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like peak Buffon or something, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So for the next bit, listeners, you will now hear what could only be described as 45 minutes of constant wall-to-wall laughing. Because the next thing that I've got that happens is Troy Deeney getting a red card. John, do you want to talk us through the man who lost his cojones?
All the Arsenal fans, they're going to hate me because I quite like Troy Deeney, which is controversial because of the things he said about us and us not having cojones, but I tended to agree with him, but there you go.
He looks like a pigeon.
I'm going to get loads of abuse for that. I want to ask you first, Josh, did you think it was a red card?
From the first angle that I saw, I would say no, because I saw it from the referee's angle. But when you see the angle the linesman's got, yeah, it's a red card. I think Deeney is a little bit unlucky for the fact that he's, 6'2", and Torreira's about 5'0". So he's at perfect level for an elbow if a general player kind of pulls his arm back to stop the, you know, try and jostle the player, don't let him past him, that to any other of our defend players, that elbow lands at their chest and they're probably fine. But yeah, he gets Torreira in the face, and he obviously picked the wrong player to try and, you know, give a bit of a whack to very early. But I do have on my note, it's quite soft. But that's what makes it even better, right?
I mean, I tend to agree with you. I can see a lot of people in the chat box saying clear red. A few people saying it wasn't even a yellow. Right, my argument was, and obviously it's hilarious that Deeney got sent off, and I think, to be honest, it's kind of a blessing because people saw how he played in that game, and if we had to play against 11 with Deeney on the pitch, we might have struggled even more. Like Josh said, because of Torreira's height, it looks worse and it looks like an elbow. It's more of his forearm. I'm not saying a forearm smash is, you know, less bad than an elbow is. Of course not. But to me, the way he goes into Torreira there is more of a, hello, I'm on the pitch kind of, you know, be aware, I'm going to be physical and put myself about. Look, we all know Troy Deeney is not shy of, if he wants to elbow someone, he will do it properly. And if Deeney wanted to elbow Torreira, I think he would have sent him flying properly. So for me, it's not a red. He's given the referee decision to make, though, which I think is the big issue. So, yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, I don't care. It's obviously, it's great for us. But if you're, like, doing it letter of the law or whatever, I don't see that as violent conduct or anything. You know, football's a contact sport. I'm not saying you could just kick someone off the ball or anything like that. But, yeah, I'm sure there'll be lots of people who'll say, shut up, John, you're siding with the referee, even though the referee gave the red card. But they'll moan at me somehow.
Carl, do you care to do the honours?
Oh, let me take myself off mute. Sharp, John, to say the referee.
Thank you. What were your thoughts on the red?
So what I do normally, any decision that's made, I always think, if that was an Arsenal player, would I be happy? So if that was Granit Xhaka doing it to an Arsenal player, doing it to a Watford player, he got sent off, would I say, yeah, or would I say, go full Steve mode and say the referee's against us and, you know, they all hate us and the PGML shit? Personally, that wasn't a red. I can't see that being a red because, just to echo what John said, had that been a 6 foot player versus a 6 foot player, he's hitting him in his chest. It's just very unlucky that Torreira is 4 foot two. So obviously it goes straight into his head. I think by the letter of the law, it has to be violent conduct. Was that violent conduct? I don't think so. So, and like John said, I think it was literally a, look, I'm here, like, here you go. It's not, I don't know, because I'm just watching the Sky Sports replay, and I've got the sound muted, but Gary Neville's doing that emotion of him actually drawing his elbow back and throwing it into his face. I don't think he did that because he was running at the same time. So I don't think he meant to actually elbow him in the face. So for me personally, no, it's not a red card, but I don't give a fuck, to be honest, because he got sent off, we won the game, so two tears in a bucket, fuck it.
Absolutely. Thank you, J-Rob, again for another donation and agreeing with us that the schadenfreude that is Troy Deeney is just beautiful this evening, is better than anything else we saw on the pitch this evening. However, we will persevere with the rest of the game. Let's talk through Leno, I think, John, in that regard. What did you reckon to his first half? Because even after the red card, we didn't seem to be particularly on the front foot.
Yeah, he did a few good things today, but you can see that when it comes to a physical matchup or there's a team that put a lot of crosses in, he will struggle a little. I just think sometimes his decision making isn't always quite there. I don't have a problem with him if he misplaces a pass out from the back or anything, or if he's put under real pressure, it goes out for a throw in. That's fine. And that did happen, to be fair, even when they were down to 10 men. But just, I think it's more a case of just getting used to the league. It's like we said before, that, you know, I don't think there's too much between Leno and Cech. And in terms of the way we want to play out from the back, obviously Leno's a better keeper. But if you've got to deal with crosses and set pieces and stuff all day, I'm more comfortable with Cech in goal than I am necessarily with Leno. But just, we couldn't get a foothold in the game. And it was weird. I thought when they went down to 10 men, I thought, OK, this is perfect. you know, we can just, for the first half, we've already got a goal up. We don't really need to press it. Just keep the ball, pass it around, just slowly tire them. You don't need to go for the second straight away. You've got the second half of that. You can sort of amp up the pace of play. But we just still couldn't keep the ball. And I was, to be fair, I was really impressed with Watford and the way they got about the pitch. And in particular, Kapu and Will Hughes as well, I thought was really good for them. Just like their tenacity in the tackling and stuff. But we just couldn't really string too many passes together. And it seems like, regardless of whether we're playing 10 or 11 away from home, just our form just isn't quite there. And I thought it would be better today, considering the players we had out on the pitch, to be fair.
Yeah. Thank you, Jonas, as well. Jonas Hestrom has come in with a donation as well. Thank you, as always, guys. Also, a little note to the chat box as well. We have got 224 of you watching, which right now, with it being, what, 10:15 in the evening in the UK, fair play to all of you that are based in the UK. If it's a reasonable time for you to be watching, less impressed, to be fair. But if you could give us a like, that'd be great, or a dislike if you dislike, because Danny doesn't really mind. So long as he gets a thumb put somewhere, he's all yours. Let's continue moving on through the game. I've got 24 minutes. I've got two excellent blocks from Mustafi. I'm not sure what they're related to, but they must have been of note. Carl, what did you reckon to Mustafi's game? You know, you saw him come in at right back, and we know you're not necessarily his biggest fan, but to be honest, we might be hard-pressed to find his biggest fan. What did you reckon to his performance?
He's a bit of a pantomime villain, isn't he? Because he sometimes had good games, sometimes had bad games, or really bad games. Today, he did his job. I'm not trying to be a hater, but he did his job. He had a bit of a few tough times, but for me, Watford came on to us, and I was very scared to see him at right back, to be honest. I didn't fancy him there, but when we sort of changed it to a back three, even then I thought, shit. But no, I think he kind of marshalled that right side very well. You're right, he got a few, I can remember one of the blocks. I thought, oh, well done. Like, it actually, it made me like think, sorry, I just seen the funniest within this name in the chat. John Walsh gave me crabs. Sorry, it's actually tickled me.
That's my new favorite member. They appeared in the last, apparently, it's a group of 1500 women, it's a collective username. They appeared last show. Apologies to anyone not watching live who has to suffer us laughing at
the, sorry, things in the chat box. Yes. I'd completely misread that name, and I thought it said, John Welsh, give me crabs. I'm sat in a bathtub full of yogurt. Oh, it must be Danny. Must be one of Danny's ones. Sounds like something he'd do. J-Rob, thank you again. I think you've got your finger stuck on the donate button. Someone help him out. But yeah, back on Mustafi as well. We saw that kind of diving header. So he wasn't afraid to kind of put his body on the line.
I personally think that he knows now he's not first choice in the centre-back department. I think, obviously, we settled on Socrates and Koscielny thereafter. If we're going to play a back four, you know, those are the two we're going to play. And even if we're going to play a back three, he's not even first choice for back three. So I think he knows that he has to come in and do very, very well to try and earn his place back. And I'm not adverse to giving someone praise when they play well. I think he done all right today. I think he had a solid, very solid game. And I think, you know, if we can get more of those games from him, then, yeah, I'd love it. I don't think against Napoli he's going to start. I think we'll probably revert back to our Mustafi. Sorry, I think with Koscielny, Socrates, and Monreal. Back three, that's what I think we'll do against Napoli. But, you know, if Mustafi plays like he did today, he has to come in and do a job, then hopefully he'll come in and he'll play well.
Yeah, agreed. John, half-time came about and we saw Ozil come on for Torreira. What did you think with, you know, Emery's thinking with that kind of move at half-time?
I mean, I understood bringing Ozil on because I thought we were struggling to create a little bit. Mkhitaryan really wasn't in the game at all. Iwobi was getting the ball, but not really doing a lot with it. Ramsey was trying to create, but again, he didn't have a lot of movement around him other than Aubameyang. And even Ramsey, to be fair, he's been in good form lately, but he didn't have a particularly good game either. Taking off Torreira, I don't know. It was, for me, a toss-up between him and Xhaka, I guess. Maybe he's taking Torreira off because he'd made like two, maybe three fouls after the red card for Deeney. And not that necessarily, you know, I think sometimes in a referee's mind, it can play on your mind a little bit. The crowd were obviously really on his back every time he got the ball or did anything or made any foul. So maybe Emery's thinking a little bit of, okay, well, he pulled up in the game before previous. We want him like top tip fresh for Napoli. Maybe the referee's going to look to give him something, a booking as early as possible in the second half, just because of the way the crowd is. So could have been, maybe it's a sensible decision. I think bringing Ozil on was right though, because you're playing against 10 men. There's going to be space. He's generally one of the best players to exploit that. I maybe would have, and that sounds weird, but I might have gone for Ramsey instead, just because I do worry about him in terms of his muscle injuries and stuff. But again, in the end, it seemed to work out. We've got to hope that, you know, everyone is fully fit and kicking for Napoli. And I think that's the thing. As soon as Watford went down to 10 men, I think Emery's mind a little bit went to the Napoli game and, well, what can I change in this one to help benefit the next?
Yeah, agreed. Sorry, sticking. Michael Hahnemann has come in with a donation as well. Thank you very much, guys. It's always appreciated. And Carl, do you want to talk about the halftime substitution as well?
I agree with John. I think that was a way to go. I personally probably would have taken out Xhaka rather than Torreira, just because this is sort of Xhaka's first game back and I didn't think he'd last to 90 minutes. So that's what I would have done. I think you're right. Bringing Ozil on is was something we need to do because of the creativity, and I thought maybe a bit more attacking presence would sort of let Watford stop coming onto us, which I didn't want them to do, because they were, as the game went on, they grew into the game, especially in the first half. I think that we just couldn't stop a wave of attacking. You almost would have thought that we was a team with 10 men. It was almost relentless after a while. But, you know, the substitution, I think, was the correct one. And I think, like John said, I think he had the Napoli in his mind after that, and I think he was just focused on that.
Yeah, agreed. John, second half was underway. We saw kind of a Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan. I think we'll go on to Mkhitaryan. Had that weird about 10-minute spell where he forgot how to be a footballer.
Yeah. He was... That was peak. Why did we sign this player, Mkhitaryan, tonight? And I thought he was that pretty much all game. He did like two really, really nice passes across the box. But I mean, that was it. And they were great balls, but a lot of the game he was just like shooting and it was going out for a throw in. He couldn't pull off a pass. His first touch wasn't there. His decisions were all wrong. He wasn't covering his man or anything. I don't know. He's so hit and miss, and it's really disappointing because when he plays well, he's one of our best players. He's amazing. Again, it's kind of like the Ozil thing. It's similar in that you obviously he's not as highly rated or anything as Ozil, but because of the money he's on, everything, it's always highlighted more. And he's a senior player, and he's played at the highest level, and you know, Champions League finals and things like that. And it, for whatever reason, away from home, he seems to struggle a little bit. And I still can't work it out. It's this recurring thing of, you know, lots of fans have said, is he a player we should move on in the summer? And, I mean, if you can, then maybe you do. Because if you're going to get inconsistency like that, I'm not sure our team at the moment can afford to do it. If we're in a better position, then maybe it's different. He's a squad player. But, yeah. I don't know. It's really disappointing because when, you know, I mean, sometimes when you see him play at home, he's unplayable, some of the things he does. but then he can chuck in a performance like this tonight. I will give him credit for some of his defensive work, actually, because there was just before he was come off, and Emery put him in a really weird position. I think he moved him to like right wing back or right back. He was sort of like half and half. He actually tracked some runs and made some really good challenges, and just like being in the right position to like sort of threaten making a challenge, put some Watford players off who might have had an easier chance at goal. So I give him credit for that, because at least he works hard. But yeah.
I mean, Carl, was it the worst second half performance we've seen from an Arsenal player since Eboué?
How dare you? How dare you talk about the god that is Eboué?
Sorry, I forgot you and Ellis have got something in common.
Fuck Ellis. No, yeah, he wasn't very good today. Like, not at all. And John's right. He's so hit and miss. One day, like, you think, oh, yeah, we need a player like him. And then one day, you're like, what did Arsene Wenger see in him where he thought that, you know, he was getting a good deal? I don't know. I think he may be one of the players in the summer to go to free up some wage. Where he goes, who knows? No, I don't know. But I think today he didn't show his worth. Like, to some days you can think, oh, yeah, he's really good. And some days you can he play like he did today. And it's like, what the fuck did we think in signing him? So it swings and roundabouts, hit and misses. But hopefully, you know, I look to the next game, and whether he starts or not, I very much doubt it. But if he does or he comes on, I hope that he makes an impact and plays much better.
Yeah, absolutely. Carl, stick with you with this as well. It's pertinent, I think, at this time we go to Carlito Alguna's question, because he's asked, and I was just my next point, was about how you thought Mavropanos played after coming back in. What was his Premier League debut for this season?
No, hasn't he played one game this season? I'm sure he has.
Maybe it was his first start.
I think it might have been his first start. I can't remember.
He come on one game, didn't he? Against Man United, didn't he? I want to say.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, it might have been. Yeah.
I can only remember one mistake he kind of made where I think he let the ball bounce over his head. But apart from that, I think it was a big ask today, because if he had played against Deeney and played against Andre Gray, they are two very physical players. So that's why I was a bit scared for him to be thrown into a game like that, because, I mean, obviously, Deeney only lasted 11 minutes. But those two together, Andre Gray, I think he's, again, a very physical player and a very fast player. But, you know, he played okay. I'm not going to say he pulled up trees. I'm not going to say he was absolutely brilliant today, because I don't think he was. Like I remember one mistake that he made. He let the ball bounce where he shouldn't have. But for the time that he was on the pitch, I can't fault him. I think he could have done better. But, you know, it's a game where he's just thrown in, nerves as well against the team that he's playing against. He done okay.
Yeah, John, what did you reckon to that as well? I think it was Shinarath has just said it was Man City he came on again.
Yeah, that's the one. I completely forgot. Yeah, he did okay. He was nervous at the start. There was the, like, right at the start of the game where he wasn't quite sure if he was supposed to clear it or let it run or pass it back. And obviously the Watford crowd jumped on that. But he won a few headers, won some tackles, got on the ball. Look, I'm not expecting anything from him. I don't think he would have played in this game, you know, had Socrates been available. Maybe gets on the bench, possibly. He probably wouldn't play at all this season unless there is like injuries or a suspension, or I don't know, we get to the last game of the season and, you know, we're top four is secure or something like that, and then he can get a game. Otherwise, I don't think he'd be in. He's got a long way to go and a lot of development. So I'm not expecting a ton from him. It's a good learning experience. It was made slightly easier because of Deeney obviously being sent off so early. It would have been really interesting, and honestly, I was petrified for him when I saw that he was in the lineup, because I thought, if I'm Troy Deeney, that's the kid I'm going to go stand on, that kid all game, especially playing the back four, because, you know, Koscielny's got to get across and then that leaves space for Gray, and you know that Deeney can win a header against two centre-backs. So, I mean, good good for Mavropanos, I guess, that he didn't have to suffer that, because he would have had a really tough time. But yeah, did okay. We'll see what happens. I would also like to say hello to Alberto Fusco in the chat. Unfortunately, I don't think any of us speak Italian, as far as I know. There might be some Italian speakers in the chat box. He's a Napoli fan, so you're more than welcome. Although I'm slightly worried about what you're going to do to us on Thursday.
I presume you're talking about his team and not him personally. I'm sure he's a very respectable fan.
Exactly. I'm sure he'd take me out for a drink first, at least.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I was going to say I was going to bring this show out of the gutter. However, my next note is I can't even read his name. Their left back hits one from 30 yards and hits the bar. John, in a number of Keurigs, how much poo came out your ass when that happened? Because it was squeaky bum time.
I think the technical term is a fuck ton. That's a metric, like that's a unit of measurement, isn't it?
Well, Keurig is the unit of measurement. If South Park taught me anything,
it's Messina, wasn't it? I think.
Yes, that's the one. Ex Bologna.
Yeah. Yeah. weirdly, I think that was the most noise I made during the entire game, because I went, oh, yeah, and got louder and louder, obviously, until he hit the crossbar. Because when Aubameyang scored, I just laughed. It was so funny. But yeah, that was terrifying. It was so weird, though, because he took so long to line the shot up. I thought, you know, when you see someone really, really eyeing one up, you think, oh, he's either going to completely spoon this and it's going to go 2 yards to the left and just like spin flat, or it's going to go like flying out of the stadium. Wow, yeah, he really hit that. And Leno, I don't even think he moved, did he? He just stood still and just went, please don't go in. So, yeah, just a bit of luck there. We'll take it.
Yeah, Carl, any advance on a shit ton of... it was a fuck ton of poo.
I actually said, go on then. Because I actually wanted him to hit it, thinking, this ain't going nowhere. Like, I was like, go on then. And when he hit the puck, I was like, oh, shit. Literally. Yeah, wouldn't need to hit it, but then he showed me up.
Yeah, it was like when your train services, you asked for it to come in on time and it just slightly missed.
Oh!
That one was for Fife.
Oh, fuck me. Sorry, people who aren't watching live. That hilarious name in the chat box, John Welsh gave me crabs, has just done hashtag me too. I didn't do anything before police get involved. Christ.
Oh, Christ. Right. But we know where Jason Davies is this evening anyway.
It's not him, because he was another... I swear it's Steve. It's definitely Steve.
let's move to the next. Next time I got was Rambo coming off and Maitland-Niles coming on. Presumably, Mkhitaryan's cameo at right back didn't go down too well. What did you think of Ramsey's performance this evening, Carl?
Aaron Ramsey is, I'm not going to lie to you, he's totally changed my opinion. I didn't like him at the start of the season. I was one of the people with, oh, he does too many flicks and tricks and blah, blah, blah. But I think that's come out of his game. I genuinely do. We're going to miss him next season. Today, he was solid. You know, he done his passing, I think. We was kind of, as a team, we was kind of restricted because I think we wasn't expecting Watford to come on to us so much. And the way they did it was a bit unexpected is the word I'm looking for. But Aaron Ramsey is always going to put in a shift. And though he's going, you never accuse him of hiding. He's always there. And that's what I love. He's... You know, his mind could have been focused towards Juventus already, and he could be not... you know, putting his foot in or going for a tackle. And he does it. He gets in there and he's running up and down that pitch. He's not scared of getting injured. And I love it. And I'm honestly really sad that we're going to miss him. I know I noticed that his ego got the best of him. He took a wild pop shot from sort of about 30 yards out. Don't know what happened there. But apart from that, solid game, really good game.
Yeah, John, what did you reckon to his performance as well, and Maitland-Niles when he came on?
I thought for Ramsey, you know, he played well. He looked a little bit short of ideas in the first half, wasn't quite coming off for him. It was better in the second. I thought the team generally was better. There was a bit more space. Watford opened up a bit more, but not his best game.
Do you think him and Aubameyang don't work together? Is that the issue?
I don't think they work as well as he does with Lacazette. I think whether he prefers to play with him or not, I don't know. But he looks more comfortable playing with Lacazette because he can run beyond him more. Whereas obviously Aubameyang is going to stay in those spaces ahead of him and the movement's different. And also he looked better when Ozil was on the pitch as well, because then he's got someone else who can find him when he makes the run, which in the first half, we really only had Iwobi, and obviously we're playing with back four, so you don't have the wing backs. So he's playing a different role. And I think in his best game so far this season, he's actually played in a deeper midfield position than he played tonight, or at least started in tonight. And you saw in the second half, he moved back a little bit more and, yeah, was much better. But Maitland-Niles, I thought, was really good when he came on. Calm, assured, made some good tackles, got forward when he could. Just, he looks so relaxed and casual. I love him. I think he's really got a big future. I like the fact that I still don't think he's a right back. I don't think anyone really thinks that. I think he can play wide because he's quick enough, certainly. I still think I'd love to see him in the middle, but he's got a big future ahead of him.
Yeah, definitely. Cole, John kind of mentioned it a second ago. I want to talk about Aubameyang's performance. I think we would joke if it wasn't how he'd actually scored the first goal, but this evening he couldn't have scored if the ball was hit off him into the net. What did you make of his performance?
I think it's another one of those games where it's hard to say this knowing that he scored, but it's just the way he scored it. It's just not good enough. Like, I want to see more from him. I really do. I think he's got the ability to be so, so good. And sometimes I think he runs to blind alleys or he doesn't take the shot fast enough. Like, I compare it to the game against Tottenham at home. I thought that game was absolutely fantastic in. And then a game like today where you think he used his strength, and his strength is his speed. And you would have thought, right, to stay on the shoulder of the defender, balls over the top, that would have been him. And some of the chances he has, like, he tends to miss quite a lot of one-on-ones. And there was one shot he had in the box where the ball come to him, he swiveled on the ball, and he hit the ball over the bar. You think to yourself, those are the sort of goals that you should be scoring, that you should hit that into the roof of the net. And it's frustrating because you think of other really good players. I know Chris Carpenter's going to go mad, but someone like Harry Kane. Do I think someone like Harry Kane would have scored that? Yeah, he probably would have. And, you know, someone like Aguero, is Aguero going to score a shot like that? Yeah, he probably would have. And I want to compare him to those sort of players, because those sort of players are at the top, you know, of their game, and, you know, they're consistent in scoring goals. But Aubameyang is, I still wouldn't swap him for love nor money, because I think we need him. If we could upgrade on him and get a better striker, then yeah, maybe sell him. But we're not going to get half of what we paid for him. So for me, he's kind of got to stay. But today, he could have done better, but he scored. So be it.
Josh, you're on mute.
It's because I was having a coughing fit and then I forgot. Sorry. I was going to say thank you to Jamie Fitzgrade. Sorry, he didn't hear me say that. Only the people in my flat did, which is just me. thank you for the donation as well. I would agree. Aubameyang's movement got a lot better in the second half, but in the first half, he was best described as woeful. And the second half, some might say woeful. Although I thought he had a good, Webby had a good game today, but I think that every game. that almost covers the game. Talk about a couple of other player performances. What did you think of, I've already mentioned him already, Iwobi's performance today, John? Because he did get a lot of stick because, you know, he's a very good lightning rod for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, his final ball was really not there at all today, which was disappointing.
So I suppose other than that Mkhitaryan chance,
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to agree with something about the Chris Carpenter said, and he put a tweet out, and I thought he was just trying to fish for, you know, to annoy people. Iwobi is a player who will never hide in a game. He always, always shows for the ball. He always runs, and he's our only player who will take on the opposition with the ball. Now, whether you say, oh, it's easy because they've got 10 men or whatever, he does it when it's against 11 as well. And regardless of the fact that, well, not regardless, the fact his final ball was poor tonight and has been, obviously, and is a consistency issue, that's obviously, that's the problem in his game. And that is something that needs to be changed. But there is no denying the fact that when he gets the ball, he will take it forwards and he will drag you up the pitch and he will run at oppositions. And he's the only player we have that does that. So, you know, was it a, you know, 8 out of 10? No, you know, it was like a 6, 6.5. But to be honest, how many players came off that pitch tonight with a really, really good performance out of them? Because it's not a lot. Iwobi was just one of the better ones, you know. Look, everyone, there's always going to be players who get stick. Mustafi obviously get tons of stick, but I think if you look at the stats, Xhaka's cost us more goals, and I think Sokratis has made more errors that leads to goal that have led to goals than Mustafi's. But Mustafi's ones are so much more obvious and comical and go better with the Benny Hill music as he falls over that, you know, it's going to be highlighted more. That's not me saying that Mustafi is better than Sokratis, by the way, anyone listening. I think they're both, yeah, but there you go. But Iwobi is, again, another one of those players who we're just going to, you know, they're just going to stick it to. But I will back him and I'm quite happy for him to stay in the squad. And, you know, he's the sort of guy that maybe not start against Napoli, but if we nick a goal or something, then he's the sort of guy I definitely want on the pitch. Because when you need to hit someone, if you're hitting them long, even if it's from a goal kick, he'll win the ball. He'll bring it down the chest with, you know, two guys at his back and hold it up and stuff and drag you 10, 20 yards up the pitch. So, yeah, I thought he was good again tonight. But, I mean, I don't think anyone really shone, to be fair.
Who would you have as your man of the match then, John? And Carl will ask you the same question as well.
I don't know. I mean, maybe Iwobi. I mean, you could maybe give it to Leno for that save from the free kick he made, because that was fucking brilliant. We didn't talk about that. I can't remember who it was for Watford. He took the free kick.
It's Kapuwe.
Was it Kapuwe? Yeah, that was a really, really good save. Which, you know, if that goes in, it's a very different game. I think if we conceded tonight, we honestly look like we could have collapsed. So yeah, Leno for the save or Iwobi. I'll give it to Leno because I suppose it's the bigger impact on the game.
Yeah, Carl, what about you?
Yeah, same. Leno. I think he made quite a few good saves. One right after we scored, the ball came up to the top and one of their players was on the left-hand side and managed to, I think, just beat Xhaka to the header, and he made a really close save. So, yeah, he made a few good saves and his shot stopping's getting better, I think. But, yeah, for me, Leno.
Thank you, Yvonne, as well, for all the donation. And thank you, Carl, as well, for your answer. I would agree with both of you. I wouldn't have had Iwobi in the conversation, to be honest. I thought Leno was the standout performer for us, especially in a game where none of our forward players could convert. The fact that we got a clean sheet out of that, because for every other away win we've had this season, we've had to have scored two goals.
Yeah, lots of shouts in the chat box for Koscielny as well. He did have, again, had a good game. And again, I think probably wouldn't have played if it weren't for the Sokratis suspension, because I'm not sure he'd particularly enjoy playing this game. And then I assume he's going to play Thursday as well. Yvonne made a really good point as well. Finally won that fucking horrible green kit.
Yeah, that's our fifth win away from home in the Premier League this season. That is better than our tally last season. So everybody celebrate, because we've still got three more away games to go.
for a team that's supposed to be fighting for the title or even just getting into the top four, that's atrocious though, isn't it? Like, I don't want to put a downer on it because we won the game today and I'm very happy, but we've got to do better. Like, there is something wrong with us only winning, well, thus far, 5 away games, and we should definitely be winning so much more. If we're, you know, just to even to get into the top four and to challenge, I don't know, maybe next season for the title, maybe we're a long way away, but we've got to do better because that's not good enough at all.
So I do have the list of fixtures that, or our results from our away fixtures this season. And to be honest, going through them, it's only really, I would say, West Ham, Everton, Southampton and Spurs are the fixtures that I'd say we should have got a better result out of, really. And that's only 4 games. The rest of them are all either we won or we lost against the likes of Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City. And I mean...
But even Chelsea, we should have got something out of.
But that was, you know, Emery's second game in charge.
Yeah.
Everybody had kind of said, oh, well, you know, it's his first 2 games in charge. We'd given him a clean slate at that point. To start now judging him, you know, 17 games down the line.
I think it's less the results and the performances away from home. Is the we thought there would be some improvement. And although, yes, we have got more wins, I think it's the what we're putting out on the pitch, you know, that's not so great. And let's hope that, you know, this end sort of the talking about the game itself on a positive note, and hope that the reason we weren't fantastic was because they went down to 10 men so quickly and the players went, you know, oh, okay, we can hold back a little bit and save ourselves for the Napoli game.
Yeah, that's agreed. So I think that summarises the game.
I've got to give the chat box abuse now, Josh.
Yes. Yeah. If you could give the chat box some abuse and then do some questions as well.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I've been nice to them. We've got 109 likes and no dislikes. So I feel like the good cop situation quite well compared to, you know, the sadomasochists in there that love it when Jace really beats them down.
Well, I'm going to do 2 things. Well, 3, but one of them is the same thing twice. So I don't know how that works. I can't do maths. I'm terrible at it. So first thing is, why have we not got more likes? Because there was at least over 200 of you. There's nearly, I can't do maths. There's nearly 300 of you watching or something like that.
We've got 3 dislikes now that you started, John.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's, you said dislike. Right. Yeah, I'm going to go full Troy Deeney on you. Second thing, this is the actually important one, and then I'll go back to acting like a tit. Me and Jason did a special on mental health with a very nice Crystal Palace fan named Paul. It's out at the moment. Please go and watch. Look, if you're not interested and it's not something that's for you, or you know, or you think it's a bit too long, it's about half an hour, then just give it a retweet or tell a friend or whatever it is, because it's just about raising awareness for men and men's health. Doesn't cost you anything. It's not about raising money or anything like that. It's not a sponsorship thing. They're just doing a walk from the Palace game to the Arsenal game. They're not asking for money. It's just to get people talking about men's health, because suicide is the biggest killer of men under 45. So it's just trying to make it more comfortable for men to go out there and talk about it. I talked about my own experiences. Jason spoke about some friends he's lost through that. Paul spoke about his own as well. He's a really, really nice guy. We had a good chat at the end as well about Wan-Bissaka, and I was asking him how good his left foot is and whether he can come play left back for us. Paul assured me that he hasn't got a left foot or a right foot, and that he's terribly overrated and should never leave Crystal Palace. So, yeah, it's a good laugh. But please go and check that out. Now I'm going to go back to being a twat.
Oh, can I add something beforehand?
Oh, go for it.
I was surprised to hear there's a nice Palace fan out there.
Yeah, I know. He is genuinely. He's very nice.
He's a fan. That's why I wasn't allowed on that podcast. Because
the fierce Palace Brighton rivalry.
Yeah, I know, right? Amazing. It's because they couldn't deal with having a proper rivalry against Millwall. So they tried to pick on someone smaller.
Hey, look, no one wants to pick a fight with Millwall.
Hey, geographically, they should deal with it. Suck it up.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I think I'd rather pick on Brighton than Millwall. But yeah, please do go and check that out. But also, I'm not doing the voice. I'm not doing it again because it's so embarrassing. Look, we got to 120. Can you get me to 150 before the end of the show? And I promise I'll get Jason to... Oh, I don't know. I'll make him be nice for at least half of the next radio show. I promise. He'll be nice. And then the moment you want him to be angry, just tell me in the chat box and boom, he's done. But there you go. Apologies to everyone who's not listening, watching live, because I know that bit's a bit boring for you.
Actually, you know what? If you are not watching live, just log into YouTube and give it a like.
Oh, no, that also will help. Or go onto iTunes and give us a review and whatever you want to do. It's fantastic. Yeah. All right, should we do some questions?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. If you do have any questions, chat box, feel free to put them in. We've already grabbed some as we've gone along. Right, one from Remri to ABW. So we still have Wolves, Leicester and Burnley away. Can we really manage enough points from those matches to get fourth or better? Josh, I will go to you on that one.
Oh, I think so. I think we can still go. You know, we were saying, look, Watford was probably our hardest away game, but I think, to be fair, it's whichever away game we've got next. Our fan base has decided is the next hardest one that we've got. So, you know, Wolves and Leicester, depends what kind of mood they're in, to be honest. I think Wolves crashing out of the FA Cup in the way they did it, we can see Watford certainly didn't have a hangover from it. But with Wolves in that respect, yeah, it depends. We're going to have to see how they're performing beforehand, really. It's a bit tight for us. Leicester, again, could be a dodgy one for us. But again, they're all potential banana skins, but I don't think they're any more than that. Burnley away, hopefully they're relegated by that point. So it won't matter.
Can they still get relegated, Burnley? They can still go down.
I mean, it means a lot for Brighton and Cardiff to do something, but
they play each other
tomorrow, I think.
Yes, that is tomorrow, isn't it? Yeah, Cardiff, Brighton. I can't see it happening, to be honest, but we can dream.
Fingers crossed. You know, Stoke went down. We can have nice things sometimes.
Carl, one for you. Matthew D'Souza, did Garcia outsmart, is it Garcia? Gracia? Well, I can't remember what his name is. The Watford manager. Outsmart Emery today. Emery's changes were a bit odd.
No, because we won the game. If he'd done it, then he would have won the game. He didn't. So, no. Emery's changes are always odd. We don't get them, but he does. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Today, at the end of the day, what will show in the history books is that we got the 3 points. So, no, he didn't outsmart him.
Yeah, fair enough. I do think, I can't really, although I don't know his name, I do think he's quite a good manager. Boots CX, what do you all think about Aubameyang's finishing? We kind of touched on that already, but just my own personal thoughts. He's not very good away from home, is he? It's a bit of a worry. Let's hope he's better in Napoli if he plays, although I assume it'll be Lacazette starting in that game. Carlito Guna, we answered that on Mavropanos. So we'll jump to Pete Coulter's question. Josh, is Emery favouring Europa final over the fourth spot with the real possibility that fourth may not be enough if certain scenarios play out?
Oh, good question. To be honest, I think the way they were going at the moment, I think if he was trying to leverage Europa final over that, I think we would have seen a lot weaker team go out today. You know, looking at even the likes of Lichtsteiner seems to have, fallen off the face of the earth. Not sure where he is at the moment. And Jenko...
Sorry.
And Jenko played right back for the under-23s this evening.
And scored a goal.
And scored.
What? So, you know,
he's got as many goals this week as Reece Nelson, who is good enough for Arsenal, says everybody in Twitter. And perhaps I do. So I think, in that kind of respect, if he was trying to rest players ahead of the Napoli game, we would have seen a weaker side out tonight. One of the interesting ones, perhaps, from the under-23s was that Willock didn't play. So whether or not he's going to go out with the squad on Thursday. But where we're at the moment, the 2-0 lead, and how bad we are away from home. Well, let's put it this way. Our last two results in the Europa League away from home would put us through. A 3-1 loss or a 1-0 loss are good enough for us.
Nice.
Bloody hell.
I'd take 3-1 right now, though, if you gave it to me.
Hey, we go through on it.
Yeah. Oh, if only the final was at the Emirates, it'd be so good. Cole, another one for Pete Colson. Apart from Rambo and Cech, which three Arsenal players are most likely to leave this summer?
Mustafi, Jenkins, and he's got to go. Maybe Mkhitaryan and probably Koscielny, I think.
Fair enough. I'm kind of hoping, because I wanted Jenkinson to go for so long because I thought it was kind of a waste of money, although what he's on now compared to others is just sort of almost insignificant. I'm almost hoping that he stays at Arsenal's entire career and then goes on to be a coach or an ambassador or something and ends up being at the club longer than Arsene Wenger was in some sort of a weird like paradox universe where Jenkinson becomes the longest serving like player and then coach and then, you know, director or something at Arsenal. And this like ultimate fan dream. Be amazing.
Just no.
Fan tours. As soon as he leaves, he'll be one of the Meet the Legends that takes you around the stadium tour.
Oh, I'd love a Legends tour, Jenko. You'd have so much fun. It'd be great. Yeah. That's where I sat a lot. Didn't do much else. They let me sit there once and I came on and scored a goal. It was blinded. Yeah.
That's where Dennis Suarez took my seat for 6 months.
He sat there and didn't move either. No. It's just something about the seat. Right. Neil Vergela asks, Maitland-Niles has been the most impressive young player this season. Where do you think he'll end up playing position-wise? Go on, Josh, because I know you're a big Maitland-Niles fan.
Oh, as Hagrid says, you're a winger, Ashley. Or Ainsley, sorry. I'd have messed that up. And Danny. He should be playing on the wing for me. In terms of what's available and where we need to strengthen and where he's happy playing, you know what? He's not going to replace Ramsey. Let's put it that way. And we need to buy first team quality for that position. So arguably, he's not getting in front of Xhaka, Torreira, Guendouzi, and another for who we bring in to replace Ramsey. So arguably, his only option is to play on the wing. And as you say, he's got the pace to do it. His crossing isn't too bad, to be honest. I mean, an Arsenal player that can cross is a rare thing. I don't think we've had one since, the Invincibles. We had one from before that. Like, since then, I don't think so. Maybe David Bentley. Well, I have to wash my mouth out with soap just saying that name. I think he's a winger for that respect. Maybe a right back every so often. It depends on what we're available to get. Because, again, are we able to get someone that is happy to rotate with Bellerin?
Carl, do you know who David Neres is?
Not a fucking clue.
Okay, I'll take that question then. What do you make of the rumours we're in for David Neres in the summer? Good idea, talent, or is his purchasing stepping on Iwobi Nelson's development? I think we were linked to him before, possibly. Might have been last year or the season before that. He's had a really good year for Ajax. That team is going to be stripped to pieces. I assume they're going to try and keep some of them. Be stepping on, I guess, Iwobi's development more than... Nelson's development more than Iwobi's. But I assume Nelson's probably going to go out on loan again next season. Carl, okay, how about this one? From Jim Stark. Ryan Fraser, upgrade on Iwobi.
Ryan Fraser right now is a... getting to be a big fish in a small pond. And I know it's probably the same league, but whether he can make the step up from really, because I would say Bournemouth don't really have any aspirations for anything in the league. You know, I think first thing is to stay up. And then after that, it's kind of, well, we are where we are. Whether he can go from a team to, you know, we are challenging in Europe and we are challenging to try and win the league, you know, I don't know. I'm not Iwobi's biggest fan, so right now I'd probably say yes. But I think if you're going to buy someone like that, I think there are better players out there for the money that he would cost us.
Fair play.
Can I point that question a little bit differently?
Yeah.
Is Ryan Fraser an upgrade on Mkhitaryan? Bearing in mind Iwobi plays on the left for us and Ryan Fraser plays on the right for Bournemouth. And he's a winger, as right-footed winger.
Because so, I think any money we can get for Mkhitaryan would be a bonus. And he wouldn't be cost, Ryan Fraser would not cost half as much in wages as Mkhitaryan does.
I'd agree on that one. I think it's a little bit odd that we're trying to throw Iwobi out on that situation when they play in different positions.
couple more quick ones, and then we're going to wrap it up because us three have all got work tomorrow, and Jason's a wanker and he went and fucking took the night off, didn't he, that bastard? No, I love you, Jason, joking. Also, though, where the fuck are my likes? Seriously, Jason has a go at you lot, and you start pressing the like button. I got one thumbs up and one thumbs down. That was it. Nothing else.
Do the accent. Do the accent.
I can't do the accent. It's terrible. I've lost the window. Where'd you go? Where are you?
I could do it if you want, John.
Go on then.
Guys, come on. I'm just going to go all weak and pathetic because it seems to work quite well. If you just give us a thumbs down or a thumbs up, one of us will be happy and the other one of us will be sad. let's put it that way. If we get to 150, amazing, because then I can say to Jace, look how good we are when you take a night off. But if you think Jace is a better host, give us a thumbs up. And if you think I'm a better host, give us a thumbs up.
Wow. You can't, like...
Logic like that. If you think John's the best host, thumbs down.
that's quite good. I've decided to move my screen into a position where I can't drag it back up, so I can't see the last couple of questions. But I know one of them was something about what is a Mkhitaryan and what do we do with it. Nobody knows. That's the truth, Nikki Wilson. But there was one from Piyush Kapoor, which I did want to ask Josh. So can you read that out? Because I can't.
Yes, I can. Yeah, do you want to answer it then?
Yeah, go on then.
So the question is, due to our poor performance up front, will we regret not scoring more goals as it may come down to goal difference at the end of the season? Also, why are we so poor against 10 men?
That is a really good question. As for the 10 men thing, I think that can be... Look, sometimes it's harder and it weirdly messes with your game plan. Which I know sounds kind of stupid. The goal difference is a worry. That is, like, seriously, I don't know. The issue I've got with it is we can score so many goals at home, but then away from home we can concede a load as well. So I don't know. Look, you can always look back at games and go, oh, if we've done this or we've done that, then you're going to regret it. Let's just hope it doesn't come down to goal difference, because that would seriously be a big issue. There we go. I'll right click on that thing. It makes the window big. I can technology, people. Check me out. Right. Was there another question? Oh, there was one other silly question. All right. We'll answer this as it was asked. My Bullet says hi, which is a great name. If you had to fight Socrates MMA style, would you pull a Neymar immediately or would you man up and actually die? Josh, now look, I'm not a particularly large man, so I would do a tropical Stuart Downing and fall over. What about yourself?
I'd win.
Wow. Okay.
Simple as. As Chase says, he's not very quick, so I'll just run behind him and I'll just get some pressure points behind his ears and just watch him fall to the floor. If he has got ears, I'm not sure.
Oh, you mean like the old Vulcan?
Yeah, like Vulcan Death Grip all those nerds out there.
Now, Carl, obviously, we don't like to, propagate myths and stuff and sort of sweeping generalizations, but you are a very large black man.
No, I'll fuck him up. No, I'm gonna be like, there's no if, ands, or buts. I'd fuck him up. That is genuinely, it would not be a problem.
See, there you go, people. I asked the question, there was no bias in it.
Honestly. I think Danny's actually got it correct. Carl would just make sure his train was late.
But you got, like, seriously, Mike. Do you know what the worst thing is? Me and Fife are going to be on a show, and I've got stats for him. That's how deep I've gone. I've actually got stats for him. And just to let you know, my trains this year so far are 94.7% good service rate. That's how good I am.
There you go, Fife.
And what you want to have an excellent service rate, though?
Why would you? No one wants to be excellent, because then you have to try too hard the next year. You set yourself just below the radar, so they say, "Oh, can you try a bit harder next year? We'll see what we can do." Just creep up every so often.
Oh, dear.
If I gave you 100% all the time, you'd want 100%, and it's not sustainable.
It's a really good point. I think that is all the questions. Yes, it is. Right. I'm sorry. There was probably more questions, but we really do have to wrap it up now. So, Josh, I'll hand it back to you to do the final bit. Before I do, though, go and check out the mental health special. And even if you don't watch it, please share it with your friends or Facebook or Twitter or Bebo. I don't know, whatever's still around, all those things.
Yeah, John, you're one of the cool kids. Knuckle, bro.
Sorry.
I know. Right. That was a 1-0 result for Arsenal. We got a clean sheet away from home. First one of the season. Aubameyang got his first away goal of 2019. He is now third in the Golden Boot ranking. So it's not all bad. It's not all doom and gloom. We might actually do quite well. And to finish it on a note and say thank you to the chat box. We are at 141 at the moment. 199 of you are still watching. You know, you could have all watched Game of Thrones instead, but no, you're all dedicated.
No, people who watch Game of Thrones would have stayed up till 2 o'clock last night to watch it.
That's the real reason Carl wants to go. He's tired and cranky.
Josh, Dom says he uses MySpace, Josh, so fuck you. Share it there, Dom. Share it there.
You said Bebo, though, John. So the real loser is everybody else. Right. Thank you so much for listening. We've been a Burkamp Wonderland. Keep your glasses straight and your beards trendy. Good night. Turn this off, John.